I've always been a proud Brummie, as they call us, because obviously being born in Birmingham and the heritage of the music industry that we have created in Birmingham has been fantastic. You know, a lot of great bands have come from Birmingham. And I'm just, you know, honoured to be a Brummie. Unfortunately, whenever we've travelled, everybody knows London. You know, it's London-centric. You know, whenever I went to sort of LA, New York, or the Far East, the Middle East, it was like, are you from London? Even in the Caribbean, you know, it was, are you from London? Are you from London? Which is really sad, because Birmingham hasn't quite made the same noise as London. And that's really sad. But I suppose, whereas in other countries, like, say, America, you know, you've got New York, you've got Los Angeles, you've got Atlanta, and nobody associates Washington, the capital, with music, even though Washington has, you know, had a good, you know, following in music and has had a good heritage, but it's never associated like it is in England, where Birmingham, unfortunately, which is the second city, seems to be underrated, even though we've got, you know, some of the biggest accolades in the music industry. Yeah.
Did you tell people you came from Birmingham?
Oh, gosh, yeah, all the time. All the time it was from Birmingham. There was, you know, because obviously we were proud of Birmingham and still are proud of Birmingham. So I've always told people we're from Birmingham. Although people seem to look at you and like, you know, Birmingham, what? Birmingham, Alabama. It's always that look in your face of Birmingham. There's a Birmingham in England.
Well, Michael Jackson was a fan. I know this. And he invited you to stay in Neverland. Did he know or did he care about where you came from?
I think obviously he cared where we came from. He was just surprised that there was a Birmingham in England in that sense. And he toured England, obviously, many times. I'm not saying he was ignorant of the fact. It was just the fact that, you know, most things people associate England and London. And so therefore, he was like, are you guys from London? And we said Birmingham, which is about 100 miles away. And we explained the city and stuff. And he's like, hey, that's cool. Hey, fantastic. What I should have done in hindsight was invite him over, because he invited me to his house. And what I should have done is invited him to mine, which, you know, I never did. And if I'd done that, then obviously it would have probably helped put Birmingham, or cemented Birmingham, on the map.
You're right, and you could have taken him to see the villa.
Exactly. Well, not at the moment, maybe the villa. Mind you, in 82, didn't we win, or was it 81? We won the championship, so yeah, maybe around that time it would have been fantastic.
Phenomenal times in early 1980s in Birmingham, with you, UB40 and Steel Pulse, three reggae bands, totally different to each other.
Definitely.
All out of the same city at the same time. Did you know each other well? Did you hear each other? Did you play together?
Yeah, we became, obviously, great friends, because Birmingham, as you know, is a population of 1 million people, but it's not a massive city, do you know what I'm saying? So therefore, wherever one was hanging out, you'd meet other people along the way, whether it was in the supermarkets, whether it was wherever. And so, you know, UB40 sort of Borsal Heathway, you know, Steel Pulse, Handsworth, Musical Youth were sort of in the Handsworth area as well. So, you know, we got to know each other, and there was a lot of these what's called blues parties that we'd all used to go to. So, you know, I've known the guys, and the guys have known me forever and a day. It's all in, obviously, because of fame and fortune and whatever, that people have sort of moved out of the city or moved a bit further away. But yeah, we've known each other and grew up together. Most people know what UB40 stands for. And again, Steel Pulse, again, you know, they basically stood for, you know, the inequalities at the time. We won't go down that road, but the point being is that we were all sort of, unfortunately, looking back at it, protesting, which England isn't a bad country when you think about the rest of the world and what's happening right now. But at the time, we were all sort of supporting, you know, sort of, how can I put, like a Labour sort of party. And I don't want to get too political, but that's the way it seemed at the time.
Do you think that the three of you, three bands, that is, not the three of you, the three bands were subject to the same influences? And if so, what were they?
Well, we were obviously subject to the influences coming from Jamaica, which was reggae and ska. And if you look wider afield, you'll see a lot of two-tone bands in that area, in the West Midlands, not just Birmingham. The Beat were sort of Birmingham-based with their manager, John Mostyn. But if you look at that type of music, the ska thing, you know, you had Selecta, you had the Beat, you then had the Specials. And it was just a great time. We call it, we're doing a thing right now, Musical Youth, called When Reggae Was King. And we're honoured to be part of that whole industry when reggae, you know, throughout the 70s, 80s, 90s, you would have seen reggae in the charts.
But was there a common influence that might have influenced all three of you? Which bands were the really influential ones on Musical Youth?
I personally, my mother wanted me to be a classical pianist. So a lot of classical music is where my influences came from. And my dad came with an album in 77 by Bob Marley called Exodus. And that was just, that blew my mind. It was a Bob Marley album, and that obviously blew my mind. And that's when I started playing reggae. But up until then, I was playing Toccato and Fugue in D minor, you know, a Bach piece, or I was playing, you know, a Beethoven piece.
What's your math at, Michael?
Exactly.
We're talking rock and roll here.
So, that's right. So, you know, again, you know, my mother was not impressed with me, you know, conforming to reggae.
Well, I'm with your mother on this.
my dad was like, no, reggae is the thing, man. Let's do reggae. So I was like, okay. Fine. And the point I'm making is that, you know, influences have come from different parts. And I think it's wrong. And again, you know, Ozzy Osbourne and, you know, the whole heavy metal thing and, you know, all of the different types of music influenced me because, again, you know, you could get different things from different music. So, yes, I was really influenced by reggae, but I was also influenced by a lot of the stuff that, you know, other people were doing because, you know, I think it was Carl Palmer from Emerson, Lake and Palmer was born in Handsworth. Do you know what I'm saying? And people obviously associate Handsworth with predominantly reggae, but here you've got this band, you know, Emerson, Lake and Palmer, and one of the drummer was born in Handsworth. And so the point I'm saying is, and Ozzy Osbourne was born down the road from me, and we used to rehearse at the same place, you know, when Music Youth first started out. So the point I'm saying in Gooch Street is that our influences came from different people and meeting different people, and the whole, you know, culture was like you listen to different styles of music and you kind of try and incorporate it in what you're doing.
Talking about influences, weren't Musical Youth responsible for the Grammys and a reggae section?
That's right. When we were first nominated for a Grammy, they didn't have a reggae section. So we were competing with the likes of Culture Club and other bands. And Culture Club actually won it with, I think it was Come A Chameleon, because they had Do You Really Want To Hurt Me, which was number one just after Musical Youth. And then they came with Come A Chameleon. And, you know, people were like, wow, this is fantastic, it's brilliant. And you know what? You don't want to lose a Grammy, but then you're honoured to be nominated. It's one of those things where, you know, it's to say that where you're coming from. And so, as far as I'm concerned, you know, we did a fantastic job in getting the nomination. And, you know, the following year, Steel Pulse won it, but they won it as Best Reggae Act, which is, you know, fantastic for Steel Pulse and fantastic for Birmingham. We, at that time, was starting to lose our way with the problems that was happening in the band and stuff like that. But, you know, we were honoured that, you know, at least Steel Pulse kept the flag flowing for reggae.